We are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always good to have you with us.
Always good to be here. Hope you're having a great holiday season and a happy Easter.
Certainly am, and we wish the same to you and all our listeners as well. John, the big story right now, the piracy of the American ship, the Maersk Alabama, off the Horn of Africa. Piracy has been a much growing problem, as we've already discussed on the program the past couple of days. But obviously, it takes on a new dimension now that American crew and an American ship are involved here. What do you expect from the Obama administration in dealing with this, not only this initial problem, but the problem as a whole?
Right now, the administration is monitoring the situation, being very closed-mouthed about what it will do. Mr. Gibbs would not even say whether the president has called the family of Captain Phillips, the remaining hostage in this unfortunate situation. And there are questions whether the Navy will sink the mothership of the Somali pirates, whether the Maersk Swedish company would pay ransom money, and we'd have a scenario of ransom being paid to the lineal heirs of Blackbeard and Long John Silver. Right now, the administration is quiet on just what it's going to do. But I think a lot of attention will be focused on the U.S. Navy and whether it will let one of its own, an American citizen on the high seas, still remain kidnapped. I must say, a special salute has to go out to Captain Phillips's crew for overturning the pirates, throwing a couple in the water, and regaining their standing.
John, let's talk about more about the president. He, of course, returned this week from an extended trip to Europe and even a surprise visit to Iraq in there. Along the way, he was adored by the throngs of people and other world leaders to some extent. At the same time, though, he drew a lot of criticism for bowing to the king of the Saudis, also saying that America is not a Christian nation and saying this country's been arrogant on a number of occasions in recent years. What's the tale of the tape on this trip?
Well, right now, first, in fairness to the president, and I just have to take a person at his word, Mr. Gibbs, his spokesman, was asked about that and did the president bow. He said, no, that was not the case. He was taller than the king by a long shot and was bending over to shake with both hands when he met King Abdullah. Now, that said, people were saying in the press room they watched a film and it looked like a bow. His spokesman denied that was his intent. I will leave it at that. If anyone has a problem, take it up with the White House. On the other hand, the trip overall probably helped him in the sense that he was adored, as you say, by foreign crowds, that the interest in Barack Obama as a world leader and an unusual figure is higher than ever, and he certainly captivated the entire world, or at least those he met. On the other hand, he opened up some very dangerous areas. For example, saying this is not a Christian nation and starting an old argument that's been heard over and over again and can grow very incendiary. I might add that public policy more than image always concerns me. It's when Barack Obama does not get commitments from any other countries for combat troops in Afghanistan or when he joins in giving the International Monetary Fund $1 trillion over the next 10 years, those can have some pretty steep ramifications on policy and on this country. I say the glitz is good. The policy remains open to debate.
John, let's move on to domestic politics now. And the recount continues in New York's 20th Congressional District. For many years, it leaned to the right, although a Democrat has won the last two elections there. Now, as the recount goes on, the Republican Jim Tedisco has an extremely small lead over Democrat Scott Murphy. Still a few thousand absentee ballots to go. What do you expect there?
Well, I am going to predict on the air that Jim Tedesco wins. In other words, a very wounded soldier is going to be dragged over the finish line in a district he should have won easily. Hey, Jim Tedesco has been a state legislator for 28 years, never lost an election. The Democrat is a first-time candidate who, unlike Congresswoman, now Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, is someone who is definitely to the left, embracing the Obama position. Tedesco should have won easily based on the demographics of the district. It had been Republican for 28 years before Ms. Gillibrand, and on the fact he had a spending advantage. In this case, he will win, but not by much. Both sides will claim a victory and move on.
John, let's move to Minnesota now, where the special investigation of the Senate race there has allowed for a few hundred more absentee ballots to be counted. Right now, it seems like the edge from those ballots is adding to the Al Franken margin over Norm Coleman. Coleman vows to appeal it to the state Supreme Court, and who knows what from there. Is this time for Coleman to throw in the towel, or do you still see a light at the end of the tunnel for him?
Well, I see a lot of lawyers getting rich and spending a lot of time in courtrooms, but in the end, the momentum clearly is going to favor Al Franken and a Democratic seat. I have to say that this raises a lot of questions out there about the electoral process. It's the closest election in Minnesota since their race for governor in 1962, which took almost 3 months to resolve. This has taken clearly a much longer period of time. I'd say right now the one conclusion I can draw is any state can get by pretty well with only one senator, apparently.
Well, John, speaking of senators who lost close elections in 2008, Ted Stevens, we talked last week about how the Justice Department was asking the court to vacate that decision. That not only happened this week, but now a formal investigation into prosecutorial misconduct. The Alaska Republican Party is saying there needs to be a new election, that the newly elected Senator Mark Begich needs to step down. What do you make of all this?
Obviously, Ted Stevens would have won and turned the tables had it not been for this trial or had the trial been postponed. Now, in fairness, it should be pointed out that Stevens and his lawyers demanded a swift and immediate trial right away. Had he put it off, he would have been reelected, and then maybe he would have gotten this favorable decision. Of course, I don't know how the Justice Department would have handled the case or what the judge would have done in a longer time. Remember, Stevens is avoiding jail and having his sentence vacated, not because of new evidence that clears him, but because of technicalities and misconduct on the part of his prosecutors. He, on the other hand, wanted this trial and in the process lost his reelection. The Democratic senator is under no obligation to resign, so anyone can claim a victory in this.
John, we'll have to leave it there. Happy Easter to you. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Happy Easter. I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi is the political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.